Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're with us this morning. Today's program will be the final program of the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. I've benefited and enjoyed over the past few years bringing Bible messages every Sunday morning, and I'm so glad that you have listened in. First of all, I'd like to thank Brian Fowler and all of those at the WJZM radio station for allowing us to be on Sunday mornings, and I appreciate their work and giving us the time and space and opportunity to present God's Word to you. I would also like to thank the elders of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ for planning and providing and supporting this program each Sunday morning, and the members of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ who listen to the program. I'd also like to thank all of our radio listeners and those who want to study God's Word each and every Sunday morning with us. And I appreciate you listening, and I hope that the messages from God's Word have been beneficial and helpful. And as I try to mention on a regular basis, if you need to become a Christian and be baptized into Christ, obey the New Testament gospel, we want to help you to do that. Please contact us. And of course, all of the past Let the Bible Speak programs are hosted on our website, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. That stands for the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. There's a menu there at the top of the web page called the Let the Bible Speak program, and all past recordings are hosted there, and you can listen to them as you have an opportunity. But I want to thank everyone for making this program possible. As I close the last edition of the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to just emphasize that over the past few years, we have tried to talk about letting the Bible speak in our life. We need to let the Bible speak, not man's opinions, man's philosophy, not what we think or feel, but we need to let the Bible speak in our life today. And in particular, the New Testament, the New Covenant, Matthew through Revelation, which is the law of Christ that we are under today. We need to be letting that speak to our life. So this morning on the program, I would just like to look at some things in the New Testament that are attributed to the Scriptures, what God has written and revealed in His Word, the Scriptures, the Bible. And these different things that we can benefit from, these different things that come from Scripture. And it's just simply a reminder that if we want to have a right relationship with God, it's the Scriptures that will do that. Not the writings of men, but that which has been revealed and written by the revealed Word of God in the Scripture. So let's look at some things this morning that are attributed to the Word of God. And if we will let the Bible speak in our life, we will have these things in our life. First of all, and foremost, we are saved by the Scriptures. Of course, we're saved by the blood of Jesus when He died on the cross, but we learn about that blood and we learn about that plan of salvation through the Scriptures. And we either obey those Scriptures or we don't. But Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, "And from a babe you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The Scriptures, the writings, make us wise unto salvation. So first and foremost, we learn God's plan of salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. So we need to hear the Word of God. We need to believe the Word of God. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and be willing to confess that, Romans 10, 9 and 10. We need to repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. And we need to live the Christian life and walk in newness of life when we come up out of the waters of baptism, Romans 6, 3, 4, and 5. But we learn about that plan of salvation in the Scriptures. So let the Bible speak to your life so that you can be saved. We also get help, daily help, from the Word of God. What a great benefit God's Word is for different things that we need in our life. If we will let the Bible speak in our life, we will get help. Let me mention a few things that we can get help with. Number one, we can get help with temptation. When Jesus was tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 4, three times, Matthew 4, verse 4, verse 7, verse 10, when Jesus resisted those temptations of the devil, he said each time, "It is written, it is written." And so when we know the Word of God, we can ward off temptation. It reminds me of the passage in Psalm 119 where the psalmist says, "I have laid up your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The Scripture also gives us learning and comfort. There are going to be times in our life where we need comfort. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 that the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. So patience and comfort, that is needed from time to time, and hope, of course, is needed. Paul says it comes from the Scriptures. What a great benefit that is. We can also answer questions from the Scriptures. When people ask us questions or when people want to know about things regarding God's will, we always need to let the Bible speak in our life to answer any questions that come up. And when Jesus, for example, in Luke chapter 10, was asked by a lawyer, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How do you read?" What does the Scripture say? God has already told us how that we can have eternal life. Jesus simply turns them to the Scriptures. On another occasion in Matthew 19, when Jesus was asked about marriage, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? How does Jesus respond? In Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, "Have you not read?" And then he quotes Genesis chapter 2. And when they said, "Why then did Moses give a command to give a bill of divorcement?" Again, he said, "Moses suffered you for the hardness of your heart." He went back to the Scripture to discuss things that are found in the Word of God. So when questions come up, we need to answer that. Questions involving, obviously, our relationship with God. We need to answer that with the Scripture. We need to let the Bible speak when we need help with temptation, when we need comfort and patience and hope, when we answer questions. But you know, if we will have the Word of God in our life, it will keep us from error. It will keep us from holding an erroneous position, something that is false, something that is not true. In Matthew chapter 22, when the Pharisees approached Jesus with a particular matter, they did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. And Jesus said, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." And then he quotes a scripture back in Exodus chapter 3. "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures." And that is so prevalent today that people will make certain points, they will believe certain points, preachers, pastors, priests, reverends, ministers, they will make all kinds of points, and they're erring because they do not know the Word of God. They teach faith only, but the Word of God does not teach that. They teach you inherit Adam's sin, but the Scripture does not teach that. So Jesus said, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures." And so Some people don't know them in the sense of they don't know that they're in the Bible. They're just ignorant. They don't read their Bible. Other people know Bible verses, but they don't know the true meaning and understanding of them. And so we need to let the Bible speak in our life to keep us from error. The scriptures also help us to remember important truths. In John chapter 2 verse 17, the disciples remembered the scripture. John chapter 12 and verse 14. Paul wrote in Romans 15 and verse 15 so that the saints in Rome could remember important things. And Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3 that he was preaching and he was writing in order to bring them into remembrance. This is the second epistle that I write unto you, and in both of them I stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance, that you should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and so forth. Remembering important Bible truths, what God wants for our life. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't remember that a particular lesson is being taught or principle is being taught. And daily Bible reading will remind us. And that happens to me. I'll be reading the Bible and I'm like, oh, I'd forgotten about such and such. And it allows me to remember that. We need help with that. We need help being admonished and encouraged and warned to do what is right. The things that have been written both in the Old and New Testament are an admonition so that we can live right. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 referenced several matters in the Old Testament. And he talks about what was written back then. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, now these things happened unto them by way of example, that and they were written, these Old Testament stories, for our admonition or warning upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And so admonition and warning to live right. We find the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. So friends, we need help with admonition. We also need help with exhortation, being encouraged to follow Christ and not fall away from Him. The author of the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 22 describes his epistle as a word of exhortation. But I exhort you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written unto you in few words. We need to be exhorted. We need to be built up. We find the same thing that Peter wrote to exhort in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. And Jude, the brother of Jesus, wrote in such a way as to encourage and to exhort. Jude says, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. And so we need exhortation and building up from time to time because the world around us wants to tear us down. So, God's Word can bring us the plan of salvation. God's Word can help us with all of these kinds of things that happen from day to day that we need. Help with temptation and learning and comfort and patience and hope and answers to questions and keeping us from error and helping us to remember God's truths and admonition and exhortation. And it can also help us with certainty. We live in a world where many people doubt, they're discouraged, they're depressed. We need certainty, we need confidence, we need assurance, like we sing in our song, but blessed assurance. We need boldness. And John writes in 1 John 5:13, these things I have written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know it. Assurance and confidence is not based upon what we think or feel, but upon what is written in the New Testament. And when we match up with that, when we live that, When we have that in our life, then we know that we have eternal life. And so help with certainty. But there are some other things that the Word of God is good for. It's good for belief, where we can have evidence to believe. Romans 10:17, faith or belief or trust or confidence, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we need that evidence-based faith. And so John wrote so that we can believe. John 20 and verse 30. Many other signs or miracles, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. It gives us the evidence-based information, written information, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Belief is not blind. Belief is not based upon just fairy tale and fiction and fabrication, but it is based upon what eyewitnesses saw. And if you go back one chapter to chapter 19, John is there at the base of the cross, and he says, I have seen and I have borne witness, and my witness is true. And he knows that he says is true, that you may believe. That you may believe. Belief is based upon what is true, and that is based upon what the eyewitness John saw with his own eyes. So, belief comes from Scripture. But obedience needs to come from Scripture. We need to obey what we read. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, so many people look at the book of Revelation as that which cannot be understood, or that which is crazy or bizarre or weird. Many people stay away from the book of Revelation. It's a book encouraging Christians to remain faithful, even to the point of death. It's a great book to read and study. And John wrote it, Revelation 1, 3. Listen to this. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Keep these things. Scripture is to be kept. Those things, of course, that are for all Christians of all time. And you read in your New Testament and you examine the context, and you can easily see what is for all Christians for all time. And that is to be obeyed. Read it and hear it and keep it. So let the Bible speak in our life with regard to obedience. And when we do that each and every day, it will prepare us for the judgment day. We need to be prepared for that great day to come. I like how John writes at the very beginning of the book, just the first few verses, blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep these things, at the very beginning. And then at the end of the book, he talks about the judgment day and the things that were written, not only in this book, but all that God has revealed will be the basis of the judgment day. It's like a judge opening up the law book, and we will be judged based upon what is written in that law book. John writes, Revelation 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, God's word. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. So our life, our works, how is it matching up to what is written in the books? The 66 books of God's Word. That will be the standard and the basis of our judgment in the last day. How have you matched up with that, friends? How have I matched up with that? It prepares us for the judgment day. Some have described the Bible as giving us the answers to the final exam ahead of time. You have the answers to the final exam ahead of time so that we can be right with God. Let's not ignore those things. And in our life now, here's another thing that God's Word will do for us. It will help us to behave and live the proper Christian life now. And we can do it. It's not too hard to do. The standard is not so high that we can't live by the New Testament standard. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul writes, "If I tarry long, that you may know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God." In the verse right before that, Paul said, I write unto you, that you may know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God. How do we behave? How do we know what the conduct of the Christian life is? What is written in the New Testament? Let the Bible speak to our life so that we can obey it and we can be ready for the judgment day. And we can behave in God's house. We don't behave based upon American law, but the law of Christ. We don't behave based upon what people think and feel and statistics and what people want and scholars and professionals and psychiatrists and psychologists and experts and all that kind of thing. We behave based upon what Christ wants us to do in His will. Here's something else that the Scriptures will do for us. It will tell us about Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that need to hear about Jesus. They've just never heard about Jesus the Christ. And we're seeing more and more of that among the younger generation. I grew up in a time when I was young where many Americans knew about Jesus. Many were church-going, Bible-reading, prayer-offering people. But today, there's more and more secularism and humanism, and people are just simply living their own lives without any knowledge of Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, one of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, he met with those men on the road to Emmaus, and he opened their mind to who he was, and he referenced the Scriptures. Luke 24:27, beginning from Moses and the prophets, he interpreted them the Scriptures. And again in verse 32, these men say, "Our hearts were burning while he spake with us, while he opened us unto us the Scriptures." John 5:39, the Jews could know about Jesus by the Scriptures. Philip taught the eunuch about Jesus, the Ethiopian eunuch, starting with the Scriptures, Acts 8:32. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, the Old Testament Scriptures point to the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died according to the Scriptures, you see. So we learn about who Jesus really is. We can also defend our actions with the Scriptures. In John chapter 10 and verse 34, Jesus defended his claim to be the Son of God. The Jews didn't like that, and they had picked up stones to stone him for blasphemy. And he said, "Well, hold on, wait a minute." And he appealed to one of their Scriptures in the Psalms. The Jews said, "For a good work we don't stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." And Jesus said, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'?" This is a reference to one of the Psalms and to the judges that were called gods, small g. "If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God.'" There's nothing wrong claiming to be the Son of God. Jesus truly was that. And he says even judges back in the Old Testament were called gods. Why can I not claim to be the Son of God? So he used Scripture to defend his actions. And we need to do that today. When we do something, we need to back it up with Scripture. Along the same lines, we use Scripture to prove points. When Paul went into the synagogue preaching Jesus, he exposed the Scriptures. He taught from the Scriptures. He preached the Scriptures. He examined the Scriptures, proving that Jesus was the Christ. Acts 17, verse 2. He did that in Thessalonica, verse 11. Acts 18, 28. Reasoned from the Scriptures. He would make points and he would prove those points. You know, the Scripture is also good for ignorance. When we don't know something, when we're not aware of something, Paul wanted to remind the readers in Romans chapter 11. He wanted to remind his readers that God has always had a remnant that is faithful to him and that will be saved. And Paul writes in Romans 11 and verse 2, God did not cast off his people, which he foreknew. Or do you not know what the Scripture says of Elijah, how he pled with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed the prophets, they have digged down the altars, and I am left, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God? I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And so he goes on to talk about the remnant. But he says, do you not know what the Scripture says? So when we don't know something, God's Word can help us to learn what that is. God's Word can also tell us about sin. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22, that sin was brought out by the Scriptures. The Scriptures hold all people under sin. In other words, the Scriptures define sin. The Scriptures tell us who a sinner is. The Scripture shut up all things under sin. And so we can learn what it is. And then last of all, we can be taught from the Scriptures how to be saved and how to be right with God. Scriptures are used for teaching. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Scripture is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. And friends, that's what we want for your life and my life today. Always let the Bible speak to your life. It will help you in all of these ways and even much more. Remember what I said at the beginning of the program. This is our final program. I'm so glad that you have studied with me these many times. And if you need past recordings, you can always find them on our website, wbcoc.org. And I would also plead with you that if you need to become a Christian, do that today and let me help you study God's Word and have that in your life. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.